It's definitely a good evening and appreciate you being here. And it was a good afternoon. Appreciate those who came out for the rake and run. I think we had about 20 to 30 adults and young people, and so very appreciative of them and their work this afternoon. Tonight we're going to be doing a special lesson, Winning Over Loneliness, and so glad that you're here to be a part of this lesson. Before we get into the lesson, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we just ask your blessing as we worship you this evening. And Father, particularly as our topic of thinking about dealing with loneliness. And Father, we pray that we as Christians can be aware of this and be able to encourage those who may from time to time experience loneliness. Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us to teach us, to guide us, and train us in all areas of matters pertaining to our life and spiritual life. And we pray as we look at this topic tonight, we will seek your word. You guide us and encourage us through your teachings. Father, just thank you again for your son Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. The movie Home Alone, maybe many of you have seen it, makes being alone seem almost fun. And though you know the story of a little boy who's left at home, his parents go on vacation, all the while he defends his turf, we might say, from the bad guys who want to come in and steal and rob the house. Well, the movie is about his adventures or misadventures as he is alone. It looks like fun, but in real life, loneliness is no fun. As we think about loneliness tonight, it is a growing problem in our society. A study in the American Council of Life Insurance reported that the loneliest group in America currently is college students. Now you think about that for a moment. They're in a very crucial part in their life, transitioning from the home they knew and grew up in to starting a new life and developing new friendships and new experiences. Yet on that list of people who are lonely, it continues by mentioning the divorced, welfare recipients, single mothers, rural students, housewives, and the elderly. These are just some of the people that are alone in our day and time. It is true that all of us, maybe from time to time, do experience loneliness, maybe some more than others. Charles Swindoll pointed out in an ad some time ago in a Kansas newspaper, and it read, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. The article went on to say this was no hoax, that people were serious, and they did call. In fact, the person that was involved with this said they were receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. The pain of loneliness. It is sharp. It is hurtful. And it is something that needs to be dealt with. If that doesn't strike a chord with us, we're reminded of the loneliness problem in 1997 during the heat wave in Chicago, that there were many people that died because of that heat wave. What was saddest of all, that was that in this city, this large city, 50 people who died, their bodies were never claimed, and they were put in pine boxes and buried in a mass grave. Loneliness is a problem in our day and time. So tonight I hope to look at some scriptures to help guide us. And then after my part, I'm going to turn the lesson over to Rick, and he's going to bring some application and a conclusion to this lesson tonight. So as we think about loneliness, we need to realize it's not a new problem. Oh, it's a growing problem, but not a new problem. In fact, the faithful throughout the Bible often found themselves in lonely situations. As was read, one of the first people we want to look at briefly tonight is Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we are told about Elijah's ordeal. Beginning in that chapter, we see that he was confronted the prophets of Baal. And he defeated the prophets of Baal. And we score a victory for God and his people. And yet Elijah flees. And he finds himself in a place that is lonely. And he believes that he is the only one of God's servants still alive. God reassures him in verse 18, no, he's not. But you know, it doesn't matter necessarily if there is hundreds or thousands of people around us. Sometimes when we do things, even things for God, it sometimes seems like we're the only ones. So Elijah felt loneliness. But number two, this might surprise many, but Jesus felt loneliness. In Matthew 26 and 37 and following, we see Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we read that text, we see that his disciples fell asleep. That would have been very lonely. As we think about Jesus facing that loneliness there, it only continues as Jesus goes to the cross. And there, as we see him at the cross, we hear him say these words that he was forsaken. Father, why have you forsaken me? And so there is his cry of loneliness. But that was a necessary part of the plan of salvation. In Hebrews 2 and verse 14, it reminds us that since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. And Hebrews 4 and verse 15 reminds us that he was experienced life as we did, made like his brethren in all things, that we might become he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus experienced the full range of emotions in life so he could be able to identify with you and I as people. And he was able to overcome the trials in this world. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 prophesies that Jesus was despised and forsaken for men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Definitely Jesus experienced loneliness, and he was able to do that on our behalf. Jesus understands what it's like to be lonely. But then Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9 through 18, which is recorded as Paul's last words, he is writing to his beloved Timothy, and it's his last book. Paul's in prison, and he knows he's facing death. One of the saddest parts in this text is found in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Notice what it says. In my first defense, no one came to stand beside me, but all deserted me. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like loneliness. Not only was he standing alone, or standing by himself, but Paul says he was deserted. And we don't know why that happened. Maybe they were afraid of persecution. Maybe they're ashamed of Paul. Maybe a number of things. But Paul, the great apostle, understood loneliness. He understood rejection and persecution and trials. Yet he is the same one who in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15, reminds us that he pressed on to the goal of heaven. And so it brings us today. There are faithful today who face loneliness. If we can think about anything from these people of faith in the Old New Testament, they're a reminder that people of faith today are going to experience loneliness. And all of us experience loneliness. It might be we're married or single or rich or poor, a teenager or a midlifer or a senior. Loneliness strikes all of us from time to time. Surveys show that one out of four people feel lonely at any given moment. Americans who ate dinner last night, 22% ate alone. 23 million adults live alone. It is a problem. It is something that goes on today. And it can hit children and it hit teens, college students, newly married people who have expectations. And yet, their expectations may not be met. Mothers and fathers, loneliness can hit us all. But But as we think about loneliness, we must understand that loneliness is not a sin. As we look at Jesus and Paul and Elijah, it wasn't a sin that they experienced loneliness, but it was the circumstances of life. And so it is to our day and time. There are circumstances that will cause loneliness. The death of a loved one, for example, will ultimately bring a certain amount of loneliness. Maybe as Paul, maybe you and I have felt rejected or betrayed as Jesus from our friends or people that we associate with. Maybe it's a coworker, or maybe it's a spouse. Maybe they abandoned us. Maybe they left us. And there is a certain loneliness that comes with that. In our day and time of social media, we think that we're all connected and we have friends all over the country, even all over the world. And yet, those who study such things are telling us that social media and electronic highway that we have in our day and time is causing us even more loneliness. I'm reminded of a story, maybe you've heard the story, it's one of my wife's favorite stories that I tell. It's a story about the little girl who is storming and raining one night, and she's scared to death, and she yells down to her daddy and says, "Daddy, I need you. I need you to come up here and be with me." And he says, "I will be in a minute." And this goes on as it would with children from time to time over a process. Finally, she says, and she's almost, you know, she's very shaken and very scared, and said, "Daddy, I need you to come up here." And finally, he gets kind of aggravated and says, "Honey, God is with you. It will be okay. I'll be up in a few minutes." And she says, "I know God's with me, Daddy, but I need skin." You know, we need skin. We need other people who are there and to be in contact with. That sometimes social media does not able to help. Sometimes in transitions in life, job loss or other transition cause loneliness. Sometimes, even though loneliness is not a sin, but when we sin, it can cause loneliness. When we're not spiritually right with God, and we are sinning and rebelling against God, sometimes the consequences is loneliness. So sometimes there is something as basic as making things right with God. Every one of us will experience loneliness from time to time. It is true that loneliness is not a sin. But with that said, loneliness, when it's not dealt with, when it's not coped with, when it's not taken care of, when it's let out of control, can lead to sin. For example, loneliness can lead to immoral relationships. Maybe for whatever reason, we're searching for a meaningful relationship, a spouse, for example, and yet we get desperate and we get impatient. And so someone turns to an immoral relationship to fill that void, and not following God's plan for marriage or self-control. Loneliness can lead to immoral relationships. Loneliness can impact our finances. Loneliness, when we are lonely and not, again, trying to cope with it, sometimes people can use loneliness, and because they're lonely, they'll go to the shopping malls or they get on the internet and they'll buy things to fill that void, and sometimes get in financial problems when trying to deal with loneliness. Loneliness can also damage one's self-esteem. Probably one of the great dangers in not dealing with loneliness is that we think that we're not worth anything to God. We forget that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that we are of great value. And so sometimes in our loneliness, we think, well, if people don't accept me, then how could God accept me? And so we sometimes can damage ourselves even spiritually in this regard. Loneliness also can produce physical problems, even lead to suicide. We can overeat, we can use alcohol and drugs and other bad behaviors trying to fill that loneliness void and cause us even more problems in the long run. Well, as I've looked at tonight, we see that if you're lonely, you're not the only one. There's been Bible people who experience loneliness. We also see that loneliness is not a sin. It's something that can all experience. And also, when it's not dealt with properly, loneliness can lead to other greater problems in our life. See, many of God's faithful soldiers experienced loneliness, but that didn't reflect their faithfulness. It didn't reflect their salvation or usefulness. But what it does is teach us that we can deal with our loneliness and we can overcome. So at this time, I'm going to allow Rick to come forward and share his thoughts. Rick.
I appreciate Mark's introduction to this topic. And my part of this is not going to be a rebuttal to what Mark has said. Hopefully it's going to be an addition to. And I want to start with the material that he just presented. There are many biblical examples of individuals that he described as being lonely. I would also suggest that they were in lonely places as opposed to necessarily being lonely, and we'll talk about that some. Elijah thought that he was the only one that was serving the Lord, and just hold on to that fact that sometimes the only one is the key point here. Jesus mentioned the example of Jesus in the garden. Certainly was a lonely place for him to be, and he asked for God's help and strength during that period of time. Even his disciples that were closest to him had deserted him, as we know the story. The other side of this is there were times where Jesus actually went to the mountain to be alone. So there's a difference between loneliness and being alone, and that's going to be an important part of what I'm going to present tonight. Jesus went to the mountain to be alone, to restore himself, to have prayer, and to find new energy, if you will. The people crushed about him, and so he went to the mountaintop for that. Mark also mentioned Paul, and in the prison setting that he was in, and many of his closest people had deserted him. Paul is also the same individual that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and if you haven't recently read that, the book of Philippians, I understand Mark's dealt with that this morning in this class. If you've not read the book of Philippians recently, it's four chapters long. It's a chapter that will build you up. It's a book that will build you up and help you. And chapter 4 of verse 8 especially talks about the fact that think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, there's a whole list of those things, honorable, all those things. And Paul says, whatsoever things are excellent, think on these things. My point is that while Paul was in prison and he was lonely because his people closest to him had deserted him, what was Paul's thinking process? He could have been saying, oh, woe is me, life is awful, I'm going to commit suicide, kind of an approach. Or perhaps he was thinking on those things that were good, and he was thankful for what that would be. So the thought process is important here. Loneliness and being alone are totally separate issues. Mark made reference to the movie Home Alone. Well, Home Alone is a state of being. It's where we are. But loneliness is a state of mind, and that's an important issue in my judgment to think about. A state of being is where we are, or circumstances. A loneliness fits that category. The idea about it, being alone is a state of being. It's where we are in life. Loneliness is a state of our minds. So what is the definition of loneliness here? Well, loneliness is feeling sad and unhappy about basically being isolated or believing that we are the only one, just as Elijah thought that he was. It is a rather complex situation in lives for people that are lonely. It is unpleasant at best. It's an emotional response to being isolated. It's our own emotions that God has provided to us, but it's marked by anxiety and nervous feelings, if you will. The key point about this is it is about a lack of connection or a perceived lack of connection and not being close to any human beings, if you will, feeling that you don't fit in or that you have no communication with others or you're not understood in the present settings that we find ourselves or in future times. There's never going to be an opportunity where I'm going to be connected to other human beings. It can be a normal response, and Mark pointed that out today, and that's important for all of us to hear. There are days in which we have this blue days or sad days or down days. We all have those kind of days. So it can be a normal response, and it doesn't make you a bad person because we are sometimes feeling lonely or have that thought. It only becomes a problem when our emotions or our responses become excessive to the point that we can't function on our daily basis. It's a major challenge to all of our happiness, and it can impact all individuals and all ages, as Mark has pointed out. It has spatial impact on adolescents. He said college students, adolescents, and the elderly are the main group of people that fit into this category. The estimates are that about 20% of our elderly population are lonely. I think Mark's estimates were 1 in 4. Those are pretty close. And 23% of the population of the United States fits into this category at some point in time. Loneliness, on one hand, can be very draining. It can be distracting to our purpose in life. It can certainly be upsetting to all the things that we need to do. On the other hand, being alone can be peaceful, it can be creative, and it can be restoring, just as the Lord went to the mountain to be alone. A world of difference between loneliness and being alone. In fact, there are some in this auditorium today that, as we speak, you're lonely among this group of people. In fact, there are some people in large crowds that find themselves lonely. They believe they're the only ones there. There are some who have many social media contacts, and Mark mentioned this also, in the world in which we live today. Many social media contacts have made what appears to be friends all over the place, and yet those individuals are still lonely. There are different types of loneliness. One type of loneliness fits into the category of some new situation that we find ourselves in. Perhaps we've moved to a new area. And again, remember the key statement was that we feel disconnected in social settings. And so we move to a new area. We're not familiar with the surrounding area. We don't know anyone. And so therefore, we become lonely because of our circumstances. That we feel empty. We feel like we're not fitting in. We feel different than the other people around. We feel isolated. And we have trouble connecting with the people that we run into. Another type of a relationship problem that find people to be lonely, even though you are in an intimate relationship, whether it be a marriage, whether it be an engagement, whether it be friends, whether it be family, whatever the circumstances are, we might have many family members and still be lonely. How about times that we gather as families for whether it be Thanksgiving, whether it be holiday times, whatever it turns out to be, and everybody seems to be having a great time, and yet I continue to feel lonely in that setting. So just because we have a lot of family members or a lot of friends doesn't necessarily mean that we are not lonely. Also, another type of loneliness is an individual who has no pets. Now, this is a significant one for me, and I ask people to think about two things. Pets, learn to play with your pets, and learn to dig in the dirt. Those are the two things that I suggest along this line. Play with pets, dig in dirt. And both of those things help our minds to be settled towards helping and taking care of something else bigger than we are, is the point. So get your pets, dig in the dirt. Another type might be a change within people that are closest to us. Some individuals may have moved away. We may have been a job change. There may have been something along that line that's taken place. And our response to that is, oh, woe is me again. There's not enough me time. People aren't around me anymore. So therefore, I am lonely. Those that I know that I knew closest are no longer here. There may also be some individuals who have no real belief that people who describe themselves as friends are truly friends. They have a hard time accepting that. They doubt the friendship there. They might have fun, they might have entertainment, but there's no real trust involved in that relationship. And when there's no connection, again, we have individuals that find themselves lonely and isolated. And the last one that I'll mention along this line is what I'm going to call quiet loneliness. This has to do with there's no activity within the house, and there's no activity without the house, and we don't like our own company. And so therefore, we become lonely because we are isolated to that setting. Now, with all that being said, let's take a look, and I'm going to suggest some things that might help us along this line, some possible solutions. These are real commonsensical in some respects. They're interventions that we might use. But the first one that I'd already suggested was pets and dirt, so hang on to that one. The second one is to learn to enjoy your own company. That's the quiet, as opposed to quiet loneliness, quiet acceptedness of yourself. Learn to be who you are alone, not lonely. It's a thinking process here. This comes to do with, you can read, for example. Books apply to this. Certainly the Bible applies to this. Whatever that one chooses to do along that line, reading would fit that category. Some people like to journal, for example. They like to write, or they go on with their social media stuff and they put things on Facebook or wherever it might choose to be. Those kind of things can also be helpful along this line. Also, just plain be thankful for what God has provided, what God has given us, and for each every day that we have. Be thankful. Give yourself permission to be okay at your house. Give yourself permission to say it's okay to be alone. It's not okay to necessarily be lonely. It's okay to be alone. Try to find new friends. Make new relationships. Connect with other people. And the connection with other people can come in a variety of fashions. You can volunteer. There are plenty of things that people can, and activities people can volunteer in. We have examples here. I know Terry's done a great job setting up the coat giveaway. Volunteer. Get yourself involved in those activities. You can attend some community events. There's all sorts of activities going on within our community. More importantly, you can attend church activities. Why did we get together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and other activities? Our purpose in getting together is so we can support one another and help one another as we journey towards heaven together. The support that comes from being here is important. We need to get out of our comfort zone in regard to our church activities. You can help with Bible classes, young kids classes, things of that nature. You can attend the dinners that we have. You can visit individuals who are truly alone in their houses. We have several people here in this congregation that no longer have spouses, unfortunately. Those individuals need visited. You can get out of your comfort zone and go see them because they truly are alone. Make connections with other people. Also, it's important to notify individuals that you need connection. If you're feeling lonely and you don't let anybody know about that, there's no way that anyone in this auditorium or this congregation can help you. You need to let somebody know that I'm feeling isolated. I'm feeling left out. I want to make a connection with people here. Other things you can do, you can go out on your own on, I'm going to call it a solo date. Go out to eat. Go out for coffee. Go for a walk. Go for a trip. Stay busy. Soak. Anything that fits that category, take care of yourself during that period of time. There are some biblical examples that Mark has talked about, and I'm going to suggest one more. I talked in my class today about, we're studying Lamentations in our class. We happen to have Lamentations chapter 1 today, and it wasn't by plan, but the very first verse of Lamentations says the following. It had reference to Jerusalem, the great city, the capital, that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And the author of Lamentations was saying that Jerusalem was a lonely city. Now, as we read through that entire chapter, there were some words that kind of popped out. What does it mean to be a lonely city? Well, they were in mourning, they were in solitude, they were forsaken, or at least they believed themselves to be, they were helpless, they were hopeless, they were in despair, because they had forgotten that God was with them. So the biblical example of the city of Jerusalem was a lonely city. Also this morning, John led a song, and that song is 757 in our books. and some interesting, where no one stands alone. Alone is the key point. And in that particular song, it talks about when my heart felt alone, meaning my thinking, I'm alone, I feel alone. And the end result of that was I cried out to God during that period of time. It was nighttime. My head was bowed low. The darkness was there and it was black. That's a significant statement in regard to when we feel lonely. The darkness centers around us and covers us up. We feel we're all alone, just like Elijah did in that cave. Where no one stands alone, there's nothing worse than being alone, according to that song. Now, it just so happens in this past week, and these were totally ironic kind of events, but there's a newspaper article that I came across, and it had to do with loneliness, and it says the following: for some, loneliness is a problem, an actual chill that your energy levels can be lessened. Don't underestimate what a little warmth and kindness can do. Now, they're not talking about warmth and kindness from people directing at you who might be lonely. It's talking about you providing warmth and kindness to others. About that warmth and kindness, I've mentioned before, there are many who are alone, some right here in this congregation, and get out of your comfort zone and work towards presenting some warmth and help to those individuals. Visit them. I ask people to look out. If there are a window here, you'd look out the window. Not down on people, but look out. And when you look out, you're going to find out that all of us in some fashion are dealing with something. Some of us are just dealing with things that are a lot more serious than others. But when you look out, you're going to see individuals that are worse off than you might be. Everybody's dealing with something. Now, I've asked Doug, you can put up maybe it's up already, thank you. This is what the experts say about this. You know what an expert is, by the way? An ex is a has-been, and a spurt's a drip under pressure. Now, I've presented to you my beliefs about loneliness. This is what the experts have to say. Don't blame yourself. Mark talked about that. Doesn't make you a bad person, doesn't make you a sinner. Accept the fact. In fact, we're going to have an invitation song this evening, Just As I Am. God accepts us just as we are. So don't blame yourself for the fact that you have some lonely times. Mark talked about that already. Seek non-human friends. What have I already told you? Get a pet. Find some dirt to dig in. Those kind of things that fit that category. Seek human friends. Reach out. Find new people to be around. Develop creativity. Help others. That's exactly the point that we're talking about here. Invest yourself in helping others. Think about others. Same principle. And find your happy place. Well, that's a fancy term that people in my business use oftentimes, that if you can think of some place that's happy for you, your thoughts are going to be happy in turn, and therefore you're not going to be dwelling on all the things that aren't so good and happy for you. Now, that's what the experts have to say about being lonely. Now, with that being said, I hope that you'll pay attention to the fact that it's okay to have some lonely times. It's not okay to let loneliness dictate and interfere with the rest of your life. It's important to continue your religious activities, to be here, to be supported by one another as we make that journey towards heaven together. Without the support that we have from one another, we're probably not going to be able to survive. It is a lonely world out there. And we can become lonely because of that. We'll certainly be totally alone. Brian led the song Blessed Assurance early on this evening. And Blessed Assurance was going to be my introduction into my invitation. So thank you. Blessed Assurance, how do we find ourselves at peace with one another, with ourselves, and with our God? Blessed Assurance comes from that. Jesus is our everything, as we sang tonight also. If, in fact, you find yourself lonely or carried away with loneliness, you have no connections, how about the fact at least you have a connection to your God? God is always there in times, good times, bad times, in between times. God is always there. So even if we find ourselves in one of those lonely days, we find ourselves a bit disconnected, stop. Get on your knees, if you will. Cry out to God, as the people in the book of Lamentations have done. They cried out to God when times were tough and difficult. So make that connection. He supplies all of our needs. Perhaps you might be here this evening and you would like more connections than you're presently getting in your life, as far as our religion is concerned, as far as Christianity is concerned. You want to be less isolated. You want to be less lonely. Jesus states that, "Come unto me, all that are weary and heavy laden, all that are having difficult times, he'll bring about peace. He'll bring about help." If you happen to be here tonight and have that need, I hope you'll let us know that. We're going to sing a song tonight, "Just As I Am." God accepts us just as we are. Accept yourself for who you are. But also be aware that we need reliance upon our fellow Christians. We need reliance upon God. And when we stand and sing this song, if you have the need for prayers, if you have the need to be baptized and become a Christian, to make that connection with God, tonight would be the time to do that. Lessen your pain and let us know if we can help you. Come as we sing.